Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show featuring the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm your host for the day, Greta Anderson. Well, the news is it's actually getting warm out there. Today, Friday, we'll get up to 25 degrees with snow showers. But Saturday and Sunday, watch out. Saturday, it's expected to get to negative 15 degrees Fahrenheit, and Sunday temperatures will hover around 0 degrees. Starting Monday, we'll see a break in this pattern of frigid Arctic air and return to the temperatures at which my car will start. Later in the show, we explore a colorful controversy regarding the culture of political correctness at Iowa State University and a canceled talk by the flamboyant British conservative Milo Yiannopoulos. We also speak with our next-door neighbor, Alex Pfeiffer, of the Ames Historical Society, about the changing face of Lincoln Way and a curious anomaly that stands there still. But now, we have a full house in our Douglas studio, brought here by our regular contributor, Kathy Hansen, of Ames Community School District. Welcome, Kathy, and welcome to your guests. They are Ames High School business teacher, Vicki Hales. Hi, Vicki.
Hello, how are you?
I mistook her for a student when she came in the door. And as for our students, our high school students, we have Sabrina Hegelheimer and Carter Mum.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So you're all here because you're part of the Ames High School Business Engagement Collaborative. Kathy, will you give us a little bit of background on that collaborative effort?
Well, I'll let Vicki tell the expert details of that, but it's exciting to us in the district because it's giving these students a chance to work beyond the classroom and learn some skills that really can't be taught in the classroom. They need to be taught hands-on out in the context for authentic learning. And I'll let Vicki tell more about that.
Well, we know that authentic learning is always a big topic when you come into our studio.
Yes, it is. And we've had some young students talk about it, but now we're going to let you hear from some students who are about ready to launch out beyond school.
Okay. So, Vicki, tell us about the business collaborative. It's mostly with the Industrial Research Park?
Yeah, the Iowa State Research Park. Allison Doyle out there is the marketing director, and she really helped get this thing off the ground and running, and she's been an integral part of the program.
Okay, Allison, I know her. She teaches yoga.
Yes.
So she's a great yoga teacher. And so what did they come to you then and suggest something like this?
Yeah, Allison and I just happened to fall in the same place at the same time with this idea. And so we made it after researching several programs. We catered to Ames High specifically and the Ames community. And we figured out what we really wanted to do and what the businesses in the area would really benefit from, along with our students.
Can you name some of the businesses that are involved?
We have, obviously, the Iowa State Research Park. We've got Mainstream Living, Vision Bank. Our own Fellows Elementary School is involved. We've got REG, the Ames Public Library, to name a few.
Okay, so it's not limited to the businesses in the research park?
No.
Okay.
We're reaching out to everybody in the community.
Okay, that's good. It provides a diversity of experiences for the students. Let's hear from them. Sabrina, what business are you involved with?
I've been doing a lot of projects with the Research Park, but I was also on the project with the Fellows Elementary School. And Carter and I are working on a project from Converse Air right now.
Converse Air? Like a marketing project?
We're working on making a spreadsheet kind of thing for, like, the finance part of it.
Okay. We'll learn more about that in a second. But, Vicki, what kind of time commitment is this? How much time do the students spend outside of the classroom in the community?
We have this set up so it's actually a class as part of their school. And so they are out there during the school time frame unless they choose to do more. And we do have several that choose to be out there a little bit more. They're enjoying it that much. So it's really a couple periods every day that they're out there.
Oh, my. So instead of coming to the high school, they go out to their job. And is this restricted to seniors or can other students be involved?
Juniors and seniors are the ones that are able to leave campus and drive places around the community.
Right. Okay. Well, that must be a real boon for you guys to get out of the school building and into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So say a little bit more, Carter, about this Converse project that you're working on.
I think they came to us asking, Matt Converse was asking for us to create a spreadsheet that had a bunch of formulas in it so we could easily just plug in numbers for his employees to show them like how much money they're actually earning.
So you produced a spreadsheet for a formula, a kind of automatic system for employees to figure out what again?
It's kind of to figure out how much the company is contributing to, like, outside of their salary, like, with, like, special benefits and such.
Okay, so it kind of shows the employee the value of being employed by that employer.
Yeah.
Beyond their immediate salary. Okay. Does it surprise you how much a company might give outside of the regular salary?
Well, we haven't put any, because we just got it like a week ago, the project.
Oh, okay.
But we are working on putting the formulas into the spreadsheet.
Right. Well, okay, so that's what you've been doing lately. And before then, you were involved with Fellows, Sabrina?
Yeah, Carter and I were both involved with that one, too.
Okay.
We made a promotional video for the buddy bench that's going to be installed at Fellows Elementary.
The buddy bench?
Yeah, the buddy bench is basically a bench where kids can sit if they're feeling lonely during recess or if they want to find someone new to play with. And it basically just lets all the other kids know that they would like to play with someone new today. And they wanted to make sure that all the kids there knew what it was for when it was installed. So we worked on making a video kind of introducing like the concept of it.
A video? And had you learned that in other classes, how to make videos, other classes at Ames High? Or?
Yeah, there are some classes where we have to make videos, but one of our students, Logan Wallen, actually is the one that puts a video together, and he's been doing a lot of videos because he's pretty good at it.
Okay, but you contributed in one way or another.
Yeah, we went to the school and like shot footage and made like the script and everything for it.
Okay, and this was shown to all of the students in their classrooms by their classroom teachers?
Not yet, because it hasn't been installed yet. But
oh, yeah. It's kind of cold to sit outside on a bench.
Yeah.
I was wondering if the students would like to talk a little bit about what they're learning, the soft skills the employers are looking for, what these projects are kind of teaching them, besides just the nuts and bolts of the projects.
Well, personally, I've learned a lot about time management, having to juggle, like, four projects at a time, along with schoolwork and after-school activities.
Four projects at once.
Yeah, each semester we started out with four projects that we chose beforehand that we wanted to do.
Okay, so you've got the Fellows Buddy Bench, you've got the Converse Air spreadsheet. What else are you doing?
I'm currently doing a promotional campaign for Mainstream Living as well, and an REG project with Logan, making more videos, and that's it.
Okay. A promotional for Mainstream Living. What is it promoting?
They were trying to increase the millennial like age people, trying to hire them for jobs in Mainstream
Living.
Okay,
so it's for jobs. Yeah, we have such a shortage here in Ames, and that must be part of the reason these companies want to tap on the high school talent. Vicki is nodding her head. Business teacher Vicki says yes.
Yes. Businesses are coming to us and saying, what we are looking for is these young new employees to come in with these soft skills that you can't teach in the classroom. And that's the huge benefit of this program, is that they're out working with these businesses. And the projects vary based on what the businesses need and what the students' interests are. But they're overall, like Carter was saying, I mean, they're learning time management. They're learning communication skills. They're learning project management and all the little things that go into this big picture project. They're actually having to figure that out a lot on their own. We're mentoring them. We're helping alongside of them, but they're really taking ownership of this and becoming more employable because of that.
Yeah, no doubt. Tell us more about your soft skills that you're learning.
We're learning a lot about communication. Like us as teens now are used to just texting, but after doing this, realize that how important emails are, and that's how we communicate out there.
Emails, yes.
Yeah.
And email threads, those are real. Those require a lot of patience, usually. Mm-hmm. You have to always, if it lights up, you've got to go check it.
Yeah.
So, because there's going to be one more piece of important information.
at the end of the thread. Okay. How about you, Sabrina? Anything else to add?
I would definitely say time management, communication, but also like problem solving. We've had to learn a lot of because when we're working on projects with other people in our class, they're not always out there at the same time as us. So we have to like kind of problem solve and figure out how to communicate and get there out there at the same time to make sure that we're always on the same page with our projects.
Yeah, that's a very big, important skill, just thinking about where others, where your coworkers are in terms of their knowledge level and continually filling them in so that all everybody's yeah. talents can be part of the decision making.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, and you get to interact with adults other than teachers in this new setting. What is yes. that like? Have you met some interesting people?
Yeah, there are a lot of people out at the Research Park that are super helpful. And there are also college interns that are out there that are always willing to help us with our projects. And they all have different majors, really, and it's really interesting to hear about like what kind of classes they're taking in college and what they're planning on doing with their lives after college, because some of them are seniors. And I think that's kind of helping me kind of narrow down what I'm interested in, because before this class, I was definitely kind of all over the place with that.
Right. So tell us a little more. What are you leaning toward now?
I'm interested in either sports management or event management. But then I'm also, after doing this class, I'm also looking at marketing. So I guess I'm just kind of starting to narrow it down, but.
Well, those skills definitely go together. There's not a whole lot of conflict there. That's neat. Because are you involved in coordinating any events per se right now, or just the whole project management aspect of what you're doing?
Well, one of my projects was the Lucky Star Art Market, which was out at the Research Park, I think, 2 weekends ago. And I did help kind of planning that. So that was one of the projects that I got, because I told Ms. Hales and Allison that I was interested in that. So they kind of catered to what we're interested in. And I have done things like through the high school, like homecoming planning and dance marathon. And I'm currently helping with Reggie Sleepout, Ames. So I'm kind of getting a taste of what that's like.
Oh, that's great. I have heard that Reggie Sleepout is going to come to Ames. That's really exciting. Okay. And how about you, Carter?
For me, I'm looking more towards management or sports management, kind of like Sabrina. Not really sure yet.
Sports management. And have you also benefited from speaking with college students and other adults out there in the
Yes, because honestly, when I started this, like Sabrina, I also didn't know what I really wanted to do. But after doing some of these projects, I figured out like what I could see myself doing in the future.
Okay. Anything that surprises you about the business setting, about people going to work and doing their thing every day?
Well, I don't know if it's like this at every place, but at the Research Park, it's really laid back and chill, and everyone just does their own thing. If someone needs help, they just go over to the next room and ask for help. It's just really laid back and everyone's helpful.
How about you, Sabrina?
I would agree with Carter on that. Especially out at the Research Park, it's just a good environment for learning and for getting things done with your projects, because everyone's so willing to help.
I guess I can't really picture the Research Park. I think of a lot of different buildings of different businesses. Is there also like a central building where they coordinate what goes on at the Research Park?
Yeah, we're housed out at the Core Economic Facility, their brand new facility in South Ames. So they still have all their tenant facilities like you were picturing, but we're in that core new building now. And that's where a lot of their central happenings are.
Okay.
Isn't the address collaboration space? Doesn't
yes.
that tell you what they had in mind when they built it? The physical mailing address is something collaboration space.
So. Okay.
That's or place. Is yeah. it place?
Collaboration place.
Right.
Okay. A number and then collaboration place.
That's the street address, right?
Okay. So people from different facilities can come together and confab on something and they'll have a place to do it.
Yeah, and that's where they have their startup biz, the SciBiz startup facilities. And it's a really, really nice facility. I would encourage people to come and check it out.
Oh, really? Is it open to the public?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they welcome anybody to come and check it out anytime and see what they have to offer.
Okay, so the ISU Research Park on Collaboration Place.
Correct.
I guess you can Google that and find the exact address.
Take the roundabouts and you'll get there.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was picturing, the roundabout. And there's some really exciting architecture down there too. So, well, anything else that we haven't talked about with this program? It's the first year of it, am I right?
It's the first year. We're really excited. These students are doing an awesome job. We couldn't ask for a better group to kind of kick it off. We're looking ahead to next year and, you know, next semester, of course, but the next year and looking to make this grow with more students and more businesses. And, like I said, we invite people to come out and check us out and
I wonder if KHOI could be a business that is
involved. We'd love to have you.
We'd love it. Okay. Let's talk. So the students who are in the program this semester, will they continue the next semester or will it be a new group of students?
It's a full year program, so they will continue on.
Wow. Okay. And will you pick new projects then or what?
Yeah, we will have new projects to pick after the semester. Some of us are already getting assigned new projects as we finish them off, but I think we just keep getting new projects coming in.
Wow. That's exciting. Yeah. And this is something that will continue and it helps everybody, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's beneficial to the students, obviously, but then the businesses will start seeing that kickback as we help form better employees for them for the future.
And it's strengthening our community by more people knowing each other of different mm-hmm. age groups, and we're not all walled behind our separate, buildings.
Yeah. I think that natural, the connection from business to education is really exciting for me.
All right. Kathy, last words from the district about this program.
Well, the community partnership is always something that we're looking for because it helps people become engaged with education in a way that they wouldn't be otherwise. So it just works really well to have that two-way partnership so that the community is aware of the potential that supporting education has and that the students see the community they're a part of. So those are other skills, that relationship skills and civic skills that are really hard to teach in the classroom well, and the students are getting a chance to interact and solidify those relationships now.
Well, it's wonderful that this program exists, and it's the perfect place to have such a program, what with ISU and its efforts to combine school and business.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you so much, Kathy Hansen, for bringing in Vicki, Vicki Hales, the business teacher at Ames High School, and Sabrina Hagelmeyer and Carter Mum. Thank you all so much for coming in. We'll move on to some Christmas music.
Pretty paper, pretty ribbons blue. Wrap your presents to your darling from you. Pretty pencils to write I love you. Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue. Crowded streets, busy feet hustle by. Downtown shoppers, Christmas is nigh. And there he sits, all alone on the sidewalk, hoping that you won't pass him by. Should you stop, better not, much too busy. Better hurry, my, how time does fly. And in the distance, the ringing of laughter. And in the midst of the laughter, he cries. Pretty paper, pretty ribbons of blue. Wrap your presents to your darling from you. Pretty pencils to write I love you. Pretty paper, pretty ones of blue. Sunday paper, it revolves off you.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host for today, Greta Anderson, and that was the voice of Willie Nelson singing a song written by the late Roy Orbison, one of my favorites. In yesterday's sub-zero temperatures, I happened to see one of Ames' homeless denizens riding his bike around the downtown area, and I saw him twice that day. Both times he was on his bicycle. I wonder where he finds his courage and where he goes at night. Well, most people think of the latter days of December as a countdown to Christmas, but the only countdown I've been hearing among my peers is an anxious countdown to the turnover of power in our Houses of Congress and the biggie, the White House. So many of us are wondering what will become of the institutions we've grown so accustomed to. New terminologies are emerging as people try to make sense of the political landscape. Nothing quite exemplifies this confusion as well as the drama surrounding the canceled appearance of Milo Yiannopoulos at Iowa State University, which has become a national and even international story. Milo, as he is called, is senior technical editor of Breitbart.com, the right-wing online news site that has been described as appealing to the alt-right movement of white supremacists. Milo's talk at the university was sponsored by ISU Students for Trump to the tune of $1,000 paid all the way back in early September. Then, about 10 days before the event, the university asked for another $2,000 in security fees, as stipulated in the original contract. University officials cited bomb threats at Yiannopoulos' engagements elsewhere as a serious concern that would require extra security. ISU Students for Trump raised $500, then abandoned their fundraising efforts. Milo's talk was canceled. Meanwhile, a group calling itself Control-Alt-Delete had been planning to stage a counter-event and received a threat from the Trump group's Twitter feed. I spoke with both Austin Giles, the president of ISU Students for Trump, and Matthew Ellenson, a lead organizer of the counter-event, who is a professor and researcher at the ISU Vet Med School. Milo Yiannopoulos, the Breitbart editor who was invited by the ISU Students for Trump, is also an entertainer who conducted a campus tour this fall called the Dangerous Faggot Tour. He is British and openly gay. During this tour, he was known to sing the American National Anthem while dressed in full drag, to the cheers of conservative audiences. Here's event organizer Matthew Giles, himself a gay man, describing why he admires Milo.
He challenges this PC culture with his own being, and he does that because people need to, loosen up on how they feel about these things. It challenges the status quo of what the term faggot means.
Okay, so it's like a black person calling themselves the N-word?
Yes, which they tend to do quite often.
You don't think it empowers other people to use the F-word to describe homosexuals? Or
no, I don't think it empowers anybody, because everybody has that empowerment already.
Milo also has a lot to say about Muslims. According to Giles, Milo, quote, despises Islam.
Mostly because of what they do to homosexuals and Sharia law, how it is very hurtful and very scary and threatening to the homosexual community.
Giles felt that it was important to bring Milo to campus because his antics and his message challenge the culture of political correctness at ISU.
Not only does he seem like a comedian, but he's also a very well-spoken guy who challenges the current cultures that are on our campus right now.
The culture of political correctness, how would you describe that?
I would say it's our best attempt to silence hurtful thoughts or ideas towards one another. But in the process, it suppresses many people's ideas and voices. I mean, we're talking between someone's feelings and constitutional right. Now, you can weigh those two things out, and when it comes to constitutional right, And when it comes with the freedom of ideas, I think that will win every time.
When Associate Professor Matthew Ellenson heard about the scheduled appearance of Milo Yiannopoulos at ISU, he worked with others, including students, other faculty members, and Ames community members, to organize a counter-event. I asked him what it was about Milo that made him want to protest his presence on campus.
He is a bit of a controversial figure, to say the least. He was behind a notorious trolling episode called Gamergate. His conduct online with Twitter over the recent Ghostbusters movie and his conduct towards Leslie Jones has had him permanently banned from Twitter. In the guise of free speech, he targets what he thinks is a new tyranny of political correctness on college campuses and the politics of identity about women, minorities, white privilege, issues of LGBT status. Basically, he goes after all these groups. Which I think is quite unfair and inappropriate. There are real concerns of social justice in this country, and his conversations, his expression, lends no productive elements to the argument. He's a sensationalist, and he is interested in simply generating as many clicks on his website as possible.
I also asked Professor Ellenson about the concerns about freedom of speech raised by Milo and the Students for Trump.
So as a gay man, sometimes I wince inside about the introspective nature of so much of the dialogue within the LGBT community. But I also acknowledge that for very many people, it is very important, truly important, and that there is progress to be made on all fronts. The status of trans people is, I think, one that's been in the news a great deal. I think the average person who doesn't know anybody who's trans or doesn't know anybody who's LGBT may think, why are we spending so much time on this? But for individuals who are members of those groups, it is important. And we have those members on campus, and it is important that we dialogue and that we come to understand them. And it will be important for students who come through Iowa State University, in my mind, to understand diversity issues so that when they are employed and they are supervising or supervised by individuals who may come from diverse backgrounds, they can succeed.
The event Ellenson organized was also to have an element of performance.
We wanted to have a demonstration where we took the language that they use against liberals and progressives and people who are PC and turn it back on its head. So we were organizing a group of snowflakes that were going to be tough as ice, characters that would be snowflakes, or individuals that would be buttercups who were, as one might say, badass buttercups.
The debate about Milo's appearance on the ISU campus became a national and international story. Kathy Young, a Newsday news reporter, was following the situation. She noted that in the week leading up to the event, the ISU Students for Trump Twitter account produced a tweet that ended with a threat, quote, "This old man is setting up a protest to our Milo event. Guess the old still have fighting spirit. Please don't make us dox you." Doxing is a digital age abbreviation for document tracing, meaning, quote, "to search for and publish private or identifying information about a particular individual on the internet, typically with malicious intent." Other definitions of doxing include publishing a person's social security and credit card numbers. I asked Austin about this tweet.
Are you the person who is responsible for the Twitter account for Iowa State University Students for Trump?
We have four admins, so four people contribute on there.
Because at one point there was a post on that threatening to dox a professor who had been instrumental in the setting up of the Counter Milo event.
Yes.
And would that be you?
Yeah, that was my statement. Simply because he was planning to protest this, especially, you know, it's very petty that a university official would get involved in a student protest. So we had every right to say that to him. you have the right to freedom of speech, but you're not guaranteeing the right from protection of what it may bring.
So is doxing legal?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. Did you look into the term at all? Or?
Please inform me. I thought it included sharing private information even as deep as one's social security number.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I guess docs would be very vague. So maybe the best term would be releasing public information, you know, his living location, you know, sending pizzas to his house, kind of stuff like that. So we would only have released his number, his email, his address and whatnot.
Okay, and that was a threat in response to his setting
up? Yeah. That would definitely just be like, hey, you need to watch yourself because, seriously, you're trying to organize these protests and you're a faculty member. It's very embarrassing. So, you know, expect a little recoil.
Milo Yiannopoulos' appearance at ISU was indeed canceled. Associate Professor Matthew Ellenson followed through with a key part of his planned protest, gathering food for a local food pantry.
Of course, when Milo's talk had been canceled, we had no real rationale to host a demonstration that evening. So those of us who had been helping to organize a demonstration gathered in Brookside Park for a sort of fun outdoor winter pancake breakfast. There weren't many of us, but we had a good time. Fired up the grill, made some bacon, made some pancakes. We did meet some new volunteers, so that was great. And after that, we went and bought $485 worth of Kellogg product at the West Hy-Vee and look forward to donating that. In the spirit of sort of a mock Milo, I've dyed my hair bright orange so that I can pretend that I'm Milo and will be Milo for Micah and as we go and donate food to the Micah Food Shelter this week.
Matthew Ellenson hopes to put this issue behind him as he continues to organize his peers.
There are so many more important things confronting this country than PC college culture. When one thinks of poverty, which is the topic that I wanted to highlight, that's a much more important issue in this country. And the idea that there are marginalized groups, disadvantaged groups, they exist. That is not some figment of liberal media's imagination. And poverty is the greatest amplifier of all of those disadvantages. And we should be thinking as a culture and as a country and as a civilization how we can bring the greatest prosperity to the greatest number of people, not creating cabinets full of fat cat millionaires that are going to extract everything from this country they can.
ISU student Austin Giles also has plans for the coming year. But first, his reasons for supporting Trump.
First of all, great jobs economy stimulator. He's employed over 43,000 people, made deals with Carrier Air Conditioning, also with CEO of SoftBank in Japan, which recently invested $50 billion into the U.S. economy, as well as 50,000 jobs. Second of all is border security and immigration here is very relaxed, and he's going to tighten that up. We want to see a sovereign nation. You either have a country or you do not. Third reason would be the Supreme Court. We have a lot of Supreme Court openings, and we want Supreme Court justices that can interpret the Constitution as it should be interpreted.
And yet he's proposed judges who are to the right of Justice Antonin Scalia, and those people would certainly strike down the constitutionality of homosexual marriage.
Homosexual marriage is a... What is it? Now, it's federal pass, right? Federally legal, correct?
Well, the Supreme Court has ruled that it is legal, but that could be overturned.
Okay. So here's what you need to think about. Donald Trump, pro-gay, he supports LGBT bathrooms, inclusive bathrooms. He said that on an interview. He's also held up LGBT rainbow flags at events, letting them know and being direct of his support. So he's pretty obviously he's a pro-gay rights president.
Okay. Well, it's interesting to hear your views. Will Students for Trump, ISU Students for Trump, will that group continue?
No, our job has finished. We are really excited about the win. Now I am transitioning into creating a new group here next semester.
Do you know
what? And it will be, how do I know what?
What it will be called?
Yeah, Invictus.
Invictus?
Yeah.
Will be the name of the group. Okay. And what will be its mission?
Its mission is a young men's leadership group, bringing back traditional values and upholding leadership qualities for all young men. You know, bringing back morals to young men on campus.
And that was Austin Giles, ISU student, formerly the president of ISU Students for Trump. I mentioned that the story was international as well as national. The British newspaper, The Guardian, ran a story about the cancellation of the event. Also, just a note, ISU Associate Professor Matthew Ellenson mentioned buying Kellogg products for MICA. The group Control-Alt-Delete chose that brand for its purchases because Kellogg was attacked by Breitbart.com after withdrawing advertising from that site. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We've been joined by Alex Pfeiffer in the studio, as he does every month, to answer questions about our immediate landscape here in Ames.
Hi, Greta. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, sitting behind the controls here. So, you know, Alex, Lincoln Way has been in the news quite a bit lately. The city is working on a redevelopment plan for the Lincoln Way corridor, and I believe they had their first meeting back in November. It will continue to be on the agenda in the coming year. But Lincoln Way has a few anomalies I've noticed.
Yeah, it was one thing I noticed when I was a ISU student here in town, driving down Lincoln Way, going to probably get some burgers down at one of the restaurants there, that there are a few little scattered houses on Lincoln Way just randomly tucked in. And if you drive by fast enough, you might not see them.
I know. I love that house in the new development project toward the West Ames, where it's sort of that house is standing its ground against the surrounding development. Mm-hmm. But there's another one here closer in between Duff and Grand, the downtown part of Lincoln Way.
Yeah, that's known as the Martin House. And it actually, if you notice, that house has a plaque in front of it. It's on the National Historic Registry. And the Martins were really influential in helping African-American students on Iowa State campus.
That's right. I've heard about their contributions in that way.
Yeah, the Martins, so they're one of our earliest African American families to live in Ames. They were both born into slavery just a few years prior to the start of the Civil War. And
so they weren't born in Iowa, they were from elsewhere.
Yeah, Archie was born in North Carolina and Nancy was born in Georgia, and it sounds like they both, they were living together in Georgia, married in the early 1900s. And kind of local lore is that a local husband and wife, they were both doctors, Dr. David and Dr. Jeannie Greist. They were touring the South on a little vacation, and they stopped at a local place to eat, and Nancy was actually cooking there. So they decided that they would invite Nancy to come be their personal cook in Ames, and so she came up and did that, and she also cooked for a fraternity house on campus. So the Grice are kind of the reason that she decided to come up this far north.
Okay. And they had quite a brood of children as well.
Yeah, I think they had six children, I believe. Pretty large family. And then if you get some other people that are boarding with them through a time, I'm sure that house got very, very, very busy.
So they moved up to Ames, they brought their children, and they built this house themselves, I think.
Yes, they did, yeah. So the house is at 218 Lincoln Way, and if you're not familiar with exactly where that is, it's roughly across the street from Burger King on Lincoln Way, near the Duff Corner-ish, that
okay.
area. But yeah, they started building the house in 1919. It's a Craftsman-style bungalow. And something we need to remember, at this point in 1919, the Lincoln Highway was just getting started. So that was adapted in 1913, 1914. They didn't even pave the road in that section until around 1917, I believe. So this is just it's not what we think of Lincoln Way today at all. But it's still the thoroughfare through town. We need to remember that. That was the main entrance through town up until the 60s when the interstate came through. You went from Lincoln Way all the way through. You go to Nevada to Boone, right through that way.
Right.
So we need to remember that that entire block was pretty much houses. The only businesses that would be located on that street were a few random service stations that we would have, like the corner of Duff.
That's what they used to call a gas station.
Yeah, gas station.
Because,
yeah,
because they used to provide service.
Yeah, they'd actually come up and check your oil and do all that stuff. And I might add that I think Hanson Sinclair at Duff still will come out and pump your gas, though. So I think you might be able to count that as a service station. But just like how that corner now is littered, I think we have two gas stations on there. At one point, there were four, one on each corner. So that kind of shows how important of a thoroughfare through town that was. And there are a few other houses that remain on that block. There are two bigger boarding houses near the corner of Duff and Lincoln Way, kind of behind Butch's, and one on the other side.
Right, on East Lincoln Way.
On East Lincoln Way, yeah.
Right.
And then there is another one almost across the street from the Martin House, right next to the Mandarin. And some of those, you just literally, if you blink, you miss them driving by.
Right. So tell me about how it came that they started a boarding house for African-American students.
Well, I think they realized how tough it was for them, because the rules at Iowa State were a little bit different back then. They were saying that African-Americans were entirely welcome at the institution, but...
Of course, there was George Washington
Carver. Yeah, that was in the 1890s. So that's, you know, that's 15, almost 25 years before the Martins come to town. And then it was pretty much, they were allowed to go and study, but they were only allowed to live on campus if they had enough to accommodate like a full floor or a full dorm. That was pretty much the rules, which was pretty much impossible with those numbers. I think up until...
So it was a segregated situation.
Very, very segregated. And they kind of made it so it was legal that they could, but it was so tough that they couldn't.
Huh.
Kind of one of those things.
Well, and a lot of students at that time weren't living in dorms. They were living in the community, in people's homes, right?
Yeah. Prior to, after 1900, when Old Main burned down, that was our one building, our first building where people, they live, they eat, they study, they do everything in there, teachers and students. So after that burns down, there's kind of a struggle for housing on campus, especially. So people are living in houses and clubs on Lincoln. Lincoln Way was lined with boarding houses too. That's another business district that was nothing but homes. So people found their way into those or other fraternities and places.
So, African Americans who came to Iowa State could find a place to live at the Martin Family House, that very building that we're talking about here.
Yeah, and it sounds like they really wanted to make sure that these students succeeded, and they kept them on track, it sounds like. One of the granddaughters, Pauline Martin, maybe some of you are familiar with her, she said that Nancy wouldn't put up with any nonsense.
Okay. She's a good cook, and she's a strict disciplinarian.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
And I heard that they had a piano in the house and that the students would sometimes play.
Yes. Yeah. They incorporated that into the new dormitory. So that's another thing. We have a few ways besides the Martin House that the Martins are remembered. The Martin Hall on ISU campus, which was, dedicated in 2008, I believe. They actually did. They put a piano in the commons room because they knew music was such an important thing at the Martin House. They wanted to bring that into there.
Oh, that's right. There was a new dorm built on campus and named after the Martins.
Yeah, it's kind of in the Friley area, kind of tucked in there. I believe they're like suites. So they have like, you know, bedrooms and a little bathroom and a living room. But yeah, that was in 2008 that opened for the first time. And that was also the same year that it was put on the historic landmark it was made a historic landmark by the Ames Historic Preservation Commission.
The house was.
The house was, yes.
Yeah. And then there's also one of those, what do you call those, brick pillars?
The brick piers.
Piers.
Yeah, or like Fifth Street Walking Tour. Yeah, they are also included on there. They actually have one for themselves, Archie and Nancy, and then there is one for the house.
There's two.
I think it's on the same pier, if I remember right.
Okay.
I think it's
that makes sense.
Near Burnett, but
yeah.
Don't quote me. We have a map. Come down and check it out.
Yeah. So, and all of that was done by, and that, this whole effort to recognize the Martin family kind of came about through some volunteers, not necessarily members of the Martin family. As I know that Janet Kloss of the Ames, she was then of the Ames Library and the archives there. She was very involved in it. And Joanna Courteau.
Yeah.
All part of a group that thought it was important to recognize this family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then them combined with the Historic Preservation District, and then there's also a foundation set up by the Martin family, and that is actually what the was in. So, yeah, it's great to still have that house there. It's a lovely thing to pass by, and it kind of reminds you of what Lincoln Way looked like back then.
Well, that's wonderful. Do you have in your notes there have the some of the alumni that came through the house?
Because yeah.
I know, I mean, if you think about the caliber of student who's going to overcome all of these challenges to become, you know, some of the first students of their race to attend the university.
Yeah.
They're going to be pretty prominent people of great character.
Yeah. Well, of course Jack Trice, that was kind of his era. He didn't actually live at the Martins, but he would always, he found it as a welcoming place. He could go there and hang out and get some studying done.
I did not know that, Jack Trice.
So he hung out there a little bit. It was told that George Washington Carver, although he had left town long before the Martins had come,
right.
Apparently every time he would visit Ames, he would come hang out with the Martins for a little bit. So I'm not sure how they got that relationship started, but I'm sure that as word passed through that what Archie was doing to help African-American students, that they got together and talked. But a few of the people that did stay with them, we have Samuel Macy. He worked on the Manhattan Project, And he also became the first black professor at the U.S. Naval Academy. And he's noted as one of the 75 most distinguished chemists compiled by the Chemical and Engineering News. We also have James Bowman, who served as a Tuskegee Airman and became a Des Moines school administrator. So, yeah, and then the list goes on for all. I think they said they had around 20 or 30 students that ended up staying with them through the years, so. Just keep taking in a few at a time.
In their boarding house and interacting with their children and grandchildren.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The whole family affair.
Yeah, and even, like, there's another early African-American family, the Shipps, and they live just a few blocks away on Sherman, and they also took in African-American students.
And they were related to the family through marriage.
Yes, yes. One of Aunt Nancy and Nancy and Archie's daughters, I believe, married John Shipp. Yeah, Nellie. Married John Shipp, and they lived at 118 Sherman Avenue. So they also did that for a little while. So it's a great legacy, and it's great that we have something to show for them. That nice house is a great representative, and people are still living there. It's great.
So that's 218, did you say?
118 Sherman Avenue. And we have 218 Lincoln Way for the Martin House. Sorry.
So that is a house that during this revisioning of Lincoln Way that's happening right now in Ames, we want to make sure that house sticks around.
Yeah, we want that. We want it to be a little place where people can come through town, you know, go right down the Lincoln Way corridor and see the Tip Top, the Martin House, Iowa State campus. It's a lovely little view through town, and it's sadly not a way that a lot of people take anymore. So we'd like to encourage that.
Well, I also want to encourage folks who are listening, and you even. There is, as part of this Lincoln Way Corridor project, there is a website that's been created. When you go to the website, you just have to Google Lincoln Way Corridor Project. It's been set up by an outside firm. But you go there and it says get involved. One of the tabs is get involved. So I went to that tab and I saw this interactive map where you can actually register different things on Lincoln Way that either you think you want to preserve, such as the Martin family house, or maybe it's a place on Lincoln Way that you think is dreadfully ugly and needs to be completely revamped. So it's really it would be a fun exercise for people who care a lot about the appearance of Ames to get involved through that interactive map on the website. And we'll have a link to that on our website as well when we close out the show. Well, thank you so much, Alex, for coming by.
Thank you, Greta. I appreciate it. And if anyone wants to come down, find out more about the Martins or anything else about Ames history, we're located just next door at 416 Douglas, and we're open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay, well, I have a question right away.
Sure.
You mentioned the Tip Top Lounge.
Yeah.
Is there something I should know about that? Is that a significant historical feature?
Yeah, it used to be a sandwich shop before it was a bar back in the 50s. It was a sandwich shop, and it's just kind of one of those iconic buildings with its neon. It just screams 50s Lincoln Way.
Okay.
Yeah.
And biker parties.
Yeah, I love it.
Okay. Well, thanks again, Alex. You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I've been your host for the day, Greta Anderson. We started the show with two Ames High School students and their business teacher,
Vicki Hales, and Director of School Community and Media Relations of Ames Community School District, Kathy Hansen. They were talking about a new collaboration program with the ISU Research Park, as well as many businesses in the area, to help students gain soft skills that will help them in their futures, and also to supply some labor, which we sorely need in this town. We then moved on to this discussion of the cancellation of a talk by Milo Yiannopoulos, a employee of Breitbart.com, an entertainer who focuses on the topic of political correctness. In that segment, we spoke with Austin Giles, the president of ISU Students for Trump, and Matthew Ellenson, a associate professor of veterinary medicine at the college. Finally, we spoke with Alex Pfeiffer about the Martin family and the house at 218 Lincoln Way that still stands, where they hosted all kinds of African-American students who went on to do great things. Local Talk was engineered by myself. Sorry for any glitches you might have heard. Our theme is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Pretty Papers by Willie Nelson, originally composed by Roy Orbison. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. That's 292-2878. Or contact us through our website, khoifm.org. Thanks to Ron Carson for posting all of the links and topics related to the show. You can go to the website, khoifm.org, and listen to the show and see those links. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thanks for listening, and see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.
And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rock hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. And wonders of his love, and wonders wonders of his love.